Welcome to the High and Low Podcast. I am your host, Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo. I'm a little bit late starting this podcast. Why, you ask? Because I let my guard down tonight. My young child was taking a shower, something we've done hundreds of times. And I went to go put some laundry in the dryer, and I heard something when I was downstairs. I was like, what is that? Is there a shower on downstairs? And so I run over. I'm like, that's so weird. Nobody's down here. And I ran over, and there's water coming, streaming down from one of the lights in the ceiling, dripping all over the downstairs bathroom. So I race back upstairs, and sure enough, the little spray thing that goes in the shower, like the hand spray thing, is just aiming out of the shower and just all going all over the floor. And they're like, what? Oh, I didn't even know I was doing that. So I had an out-of-body experience and remained calm. But that was my evening, so I'm going to have to deal with that tomorrow. I don't know what that's going to entail.
So I have fans going behind me. And so if you hear any, like, is she in an airplane hangar? No, there's a bunch of fans going because we had to pop the light out of the ceiling and try to dry it.
And I know my fellow parents of young children out there, there's a certain point, I think, where just nothing shocks you anymore. My reaction to anything, I'm just like, oh, okay, of course. No, I should have seen that one coming. So that's kind of where I was at when I discovered it. Then I took an extra heavy dose of gummy and I sat down to watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion Part 3 that we're going to recap right now. I take pretty detailed notes because I like to capture specific moments of dialogue or exchange or conundrum or inconsistencies, whatever. But I don't think I've ever taken such few pages of notes for a 1 hour show on Bravo. I only have like 6 pages of notes here, which again, I mean, my normal is like 10, 11, which is just to say I didn't feel like part three really delivered what I thought it was going to deliver. It was just a lot of filler and flashback of the Kyle show. And maybe it's also because Sutton and Garcelle dip out at a certain point. Let's get into it. The episode opens showing Kathy arriving, Kathy getting ready, Kathy in her trailer, Kathy coming down the first few steps of her trailer. She's all very sparkly and sequenced out, and people are taking photos of her.
And we've still never been given context as to why Kathy is there, really. Like, oh, we're bringing Kathy out because Andy is like saying that Kathy's there. And then someone's like, was Kathy supposed to be a surprise? And he says, yeah. Or someone else says, yes. It's very weird how they're soft launching Kathy back into it.
As that's happening, they're also splicing in footage that we saw at the tail end of Reunion Part 2. So I'm like, we don't need to do this. We just watch this. And it's the back and forth between Kyle and Sutton where Sutton is saying, like, you have to take responsibility for how you came for me, and I'm going to go insane if you don't take the responsibility. And Kyle does not take the responsibility. She once again evades any responsibility for terrible things that she does and says on this show. And here's what really bothered me. I didn't notice this last week. I was probably too weary by the end of part two. But Sutton is saying to her, like, you have got to accept your role, your responsibility here. And Kyle's like, if you just shut up sometimes and listen, I would have taken my earrings off if I was in the room. How are you going to tell this woman to shut up after what you've done to her the entire season? And she always does the same thing. She will not accept what Sutton is saying to her. And she just brings it back to the dinner. I was hurt. I was hurt at the dinner. So because she was hurt at the dinner, nothing else can ever be acknowledged. The rest of the season didn't happen. She never hyped up 8.5. She never told Teddy to go and watch What Happens Live and say the thing about Sutton having vodka in her coffee while Kyle giggled next to her and was like, well, there's things I could have said. I could have said things, but I didn't. So, you know, and she's like, but we can fix this. I think we're friends and I think we can get over this for sure. And I'm thinking, well, of course you can. You don't actually have to get over that much. You came at Sutton with like a 4-pronged approach. Ankle, throat, alcoholic, eating disorder, belittling her child custody issue. What am I at? Is this 6 things? No one is eager to make the peace more than Sutton, though. And she's like, we're going to be fine. And she almost starts crying. She's tearing up. She's like, I miss her. I miss talking to her. And Kyle's like, yeah, no, I miss her too. I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. But Andy has them hug it out, which I thought was odd, but okay, whatever. And so Sutton apologizes again mid-embrace. And she's kind of wobbly on her feet when she stands up to hug Kyle. But Sutton apologizes. Kyle does not apologize. But everyone is fine with it and everyone moves on. And then because they really want to drive me to madness, they cut to Erica and she's drinking out of a straw a can of Coca-Cola. Taylor voice, enough. Enough. And as Kyle's saying, like, well, I haven't even cried today. Andy's like, well, you're about to, because Kathy's coming out. Kyle's like, stop it, Andy.
And then finally, we see Kathy coming out. She had to get mic'd or whatever. And was it just me? Kathy was walking like she'd never worn shoes before. She came walking out there like Agador in the Birdcage. And they were very tall heels. So I'm like, maybe she's not used to wearing those super tall heels, or maybe the shoes hurt her feet. But either way, like, just don't do it at that point. I was hurting for her. I was like, oh, my back. And as Kathy's getting comfortable, Sutton is like fixing herself, her little dress. It's like a velvet, like a blue. And I'm resisting the urge to sing a very old song called She Wore Blue Velvet. I'm not going to do that to you. But she says, I'm hot. I'm so hot right now. I'm uncomfortable right now. She's messing with her jewelry. It's like this big golden cuff. So I'm sure it is hot under there. It's like a cast. And then she's, you know, in this thick fabric. And they're under lights, and I don't know what hour it is, but it's towards the end. So you think to yourself, like, okay, yeah, anybody would probably be hot and tired of being up there. So Kathy comes in, she gets settled. Kyle has a crystal that she's holding, and she brought Kathy one. There's lots of footage. See, that's why the episode felt like it was so just short and unfruitful, because it felt like at least half of it was flashbacks. Footage of the last reunion, footage of Kyle and Kathy bumping heads, footage of the fight that Kyle and Sutton had in the kitchen, and of Erica saying that people fear Kathy and don't want to be on her bad side. And Kathy's watching that and she laughs. She's like, that's hysterical. And then a clip of Kyle being like, I get it. You want to be friends with Kathy. Do I think it's because she has a lot of parties? I do. Which is just such a terrible way to talk about your sister, I think. It's like you're saying the only reason people want to be friends with your sister is because she has a lot of parties. Is that why you started having giant parties all the time? Like, I'm sorry. Whatever issues Kathy has, she's also very amusing, and she seems to really be able to connect with people and have good friendships. She's maintained friendships with Garcelle independently of all of this madness, Sutton, Crystal. So I'm sure Kyle would like to think that the only reason people are friends with Kathy and that Kathy has good connections with people are because Kathy has parties. But she might just be a fun person who can maintain friendships. Meanwhile, I'm having to watch the Kyle show. I'm not getting any answers. And she's slipping in Teddy footage yet again. And I didn't even talk about it because I didn't want to give it power. You know, like Bloody Mary saying that in a mirror. But the episode opened with the clip that they left off with last time, where Teddy's talking about Sutton drinking vodka on Watch What Happens Live and Kyle's giggling. Was that necessary? Did we need to see that footage again? Did we need to open with Teddy and Kyle giggling? Maybe we did. Maybe otherwise people would forget how truly ridiculous Kyle is being to not acknowledge any of that. Who's friends with somebody just because they have parties? Anyway, so talk about that clip where Erica's saying that Kathy is scary, or people that, rather, Kathy is someone that people fear, da-da-da. And Kathy saying, like, I saw that. Oh, my God, I was so amused by that. I played it several times, and I sent it to friends. And Erica's going off about how, like, she's maintaining her stance that people fear Kathy, and she's like, you don't want to cross this one. I'm like, okay, pipe down. And then Sutton, this is where Sutton has her episode, and she's leaned forward. It's like she was hot. So she was leaning forward so she wouldn't be on the couch. And she leans back just a touch and then falls, slumps over into Garcelle. And she's like, ooh. And people are all like, you're shaking, you're shaking. And Andy gets up, to his credit, gets up, runs over and is like, you're shaking. And Garcelle is like, call someone. Can we call someone? So it was almost to me like she got vertigo or something, or the room spun or something happened where she, when she leaned back just a touch, she just like lost her balance. But with a straight face, Andy's like, 8.5 Ann should take care of her. He didn't call her 8.5. He just said Ann. I added that. And I'm like, Andy, stop that. You stop that right now. That's so shady of you. I can't. There's no way he's being serious. So then we blink and 8.5 Ann is like holding her hands, and she's, they have her standing up now, but she looks very not good on her feet, not secure. And I'm like, maybe we don't have the person stand up who just almost fainted. I'm not a doctor. I'm just, you know, observing here. But thank goodness they have an actual medic in the room. Good for Bravo. Good for NBC Universal. And the medic rushes over with his bag. He comes over and is like taking her blood pressure and all that stuff. As the medic is relaying to her and the crowd of people around her, and the crowd includes, you know, Garcelle, Crystal, of course, they were on the same couch. Andy's over there. Dorit is up. Kyle is up. They're all sort of like hovering. 8.5 Ann is somewhere around there. And the medic is saying, like, your heart rate and your blood pressure, those are high. I don't think we need to call 911, but
we can transport you. We're going to go to either urgent care or an emergency room if you like. And he's talking to her about this serious stuff. And on the other couch, not standing up, are Erica, Jane, and Kathy. And Erica turns to Kathy and is like, "How have you been?" And without missing a beat, Kathy's like, "Good, good. You know, I love the holidays so much. I felt like, you know, I didn't really get a chance to enjoy it. And did you take your tree down?" "Yeah, I took my tree down."
"Oh, you took your tree down? Oh."
Like, they're just having a nice little side conversation, not even stopping to see what's going on. Is Sutton going to live or die? We don't know. It's okay, though. But Kathy took her tree down. But Sutton does seem to be okay. And Andy, he knows that we do not have time to waste. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, no. Now I think she should definitely lay down, but maybe back in her dressing room." You know what I mean? Like, get out of here. We have a show to tape. So he's very concerned for her. You can tell he's concerned for her genuinely. But he also knows, like, the show must go on. And it was morbid, but also hilarious. And it reminded me of a story that some neighbors of mine told me. They're an older couple, and they go on a cruise once a year. And the cruises that they go on are the kind that every now and then you'll see a commercial for them where it's almost like a river cruise. So it's not like a big ocean liner cruise ship. It's one of the smaller ones. It's mostly retirees that do it. It's like through different rivers in Europe and blah, blah, blah. And they said they were on a cruise one time and one of the husbands passed away during dinner or something. And so they took him away and they put you in like a fridge area they have in the bottom of the ship, but they don't stop the cruise. The cruise keeps going. So they were having this conversation with each other, like, if one of us croaked on the cruise, the other one, we stay on the cruise, we ride it out. And honestly, of all the ways to go, have a nice meal, going down some beautiful river on a luxury cruise ship, there's worse ways. So yeah, they got to take care of Sutton, but they got to keep going. The cruise doesn't stop. And when the whole thing was happening where the medic was over there, Kathy said the funniest thing to Sutton. She's like, "Sutton, it's just a hot flash." Because Sutton was like, "Yeah, no, I did feel a little hot." She's like, "Sutton, it's a hot flash. You're 49. That's going to happen." So Sutton's up now and she's being walked to her dressing room to go lay down by Garcelle and the medic. And Garcelle's like, "I'm going to go where you go," which is really nice. And Sutton's saying, like, it is hard to walk, so they bring her slippers. And that's Kyle's contribution. She turns and she yells, "Slippers! Can someone get her slippers?" So a season from now, when they have a fight, Kyle will be like, "That's not true. I'm a good friend. Remember when I yelled for your slippers?" And Erica and Kathy I can't even tell you how surreal it was. They're on the other couch, and as Sutton has got her little slips on, and she's making her way with tiny baby steps, newborn deer steps, she's making her way out and she's not even like fully off of the couch yet. And Kathy says, "It's probably a problem with her legs or whatever."
"Yeah, she's got neuropathy."
We're like, "I'm not sure what that, I don't understand what that is." So Erica's explaining, like, it's like your nerve endings, you have tingling and pain. And Kathy's like, "Oh, so it's neurological." And we're like, "Yeah, neuropathy? Oh God." And Crystal is saying for someone to definitely like hold her, one person on each side, because Sutton's reading that she just got of her blood pressure and her heart rate are as high as Crystal's was when they were on the trip in Spain. So that explains the abundance of caution. And as she's slowly, you know, shuffling off of stage, they're like, "Your heart rate was so high." And she's like, "Well, I was scared." She said that a few times to try to be like, "Look, yeah, something's happening with me. But I also, just falling back like that, I scared myself." And they're getting her to her dressing room and she's like, "Can I get something to eat?" I'm like, you know what? I wonder the logistics of this, like how long the shoot day is. And do they stop and give them a snack, or does nobody want to eat because they're in these whatever dresses? So she's eating a banana and drinking some orange juice in her dressing room and she's still shaking. And Garcelle is right by her side, which is so nice. And she has one of those fan things. You use them in the summertime, like at your kids' sports games. It's like it attaches to a water bottle, so it blows a little bit of wind and misty water in your face. It's nice. And meanwhile, back on the couches, Kathy's going off trying to make jokes, which I appreciate. I do love gallows humor. And Kathy is saying, "Well, I was going to go after her next. She probably knew that. It's probably why she left. It's a good way to get out of that, huh?" People are cracking up. Kathy's always got jokes.
And Erica's like, "Shut up." "But you're right."
And Andy regroups everyone and he says, "Well, the goal, you know, is we got Sutton laying down, she's taken care of. I do think it's better that she's back there and not out here." And we're like, Andy, we get it. We have to keep rolling. No one thinks you're heartless. She's fine in her dressing room. She probably doesn't want to lay down out here under these lights anyway. And he's like, "I want to keep talking. We know." So they talk more for some reason, about Erica saying that she didn't care about Kathy's influence. You know, when Kathy was first on the show, Erica was quick to run and say what she heard her disparagingly say about a DJ in Aspen. And Kathy seems very amused by that. Kathy's like, she doesn't care. She doesn't care what I think at all. It's kind of amazing. Even when she was married to Tom and her life was very different. Erica's like,
I didn't care then either.
So for way too long, they all reflect on the power that Kathy may or may not wield in Beverly Hills. And they all kind of chime in on what they think. Even Kyle thinks that she's, you know, she is like, she is Beverly Hills. She is Beverly Hills. And Crystal says that Kathy is a powerful person. You know, she can get things done. And Erica's like, she can just pick up the phone and like make something happen. And I'm sitting here wondering, what have you all seen? What have these women witnessed? I would like to know. But then the Kyle show has to take a turn from welcoming her sister and making a big deal of her sister to focusing now on Mauricio and the agency, the origins of the agency. We want to pick a little bit at that. And I posted something today. It was a clip of, because see, now we have these dueling shows. So Mauricio has his show, dang, what's it called? Buying Beverly Hills, I think, on Netflix. Get your own accounts, Netflix. He is talking more openly and freely about his issues in his marriage than Kyle could ever muster on this show, where she is a seasoned vet and paid a lot of money. And on his show, he talks in depth about, again, how he split off from Hilton and Highland, which is Rick Hilton's real estate firm. Remember, Kyle and Mo had nothing and were weeping and didn't know what to do. And they got their real estate license and he went to go work for Rick Hilton. So on the show, he goes into greater detail about why he left. I guess he wrote it in his book. And then he's also talking about it on the show. And it's that he asked for either more money or a stake in the business or something. And he felt that it was justified because he had brought in like 19% of their revenue and they did not want to make him either a partner or an investor. And so he left. That was back in 2011. And he's talking about it now 13 years later. Paris Hilton commented either today or yesterday on someone's post of it. My father is the consummate gentleman. He would never speak publicly about family things. Like, and I wish that, you know, Mauricio would stop, was essentially the message. And I shared it. And I was like, I get it. Like, if it was my dad, that's how I would feel as well. And there was a ton of people that were like, no, you know what? Screw that company. Your job doesn't own you. And if you go to them and you say, here's what I want in order to stay, I think I'm valuable, and they don't recognize that or meet you halfway, then why would you stay? And I completely agree with that. I do. I completely agree with that. That's not this situation to me. To me, I see it as it's a family, which is very different than like a soulless company who you owe nothing, they owe you nothing, and you literally are just like a W-2 form to them. And they read a quote from his book. And the quote is exactly, if they paid me what I deserved, showed me an inkling of professional, I think I wrote love, professional love, it would have stayed, but they didn't see it that way. So that quote from the book is more insight than even what he said on his show, because that quote from the book makes it seem like it was almost a respect issue. So he's saying an inkling of professional love paid me what I deserved, etc. So he wasn't happy with his commission amount. He wasn't happy with however he was being acknowledged and his limitations. And so he left. And I get that. But if it is family, I think someone has to swallow their ego and part in a very, just make a huge effort to part in an extremely amicable way. Now, here's what Kathy says happened. Kathy says, Mauricio called on a Thursday. She remembers what day of the week it was. Buckle up. He called on a Thursday, and I guess he told Rick whatever he's going to tell him that he was leaving. Rick asked when he was going to leave. Friday, he said. So the very next day. So he says, I'm leaving, and he's leaving the very next day. That's rude. I have hated some jobs in my life, and I have given decent notice. And that's not even for family who picked me up when I had nothing, trained me, and made me very wealthy. Kathy says, Rick said to him, your family Just know how difficult opening your own business is. The door is always open for you if you ever want to come back. Just don't poach any of my staff or my clients, please. And Andy says, and did he? She says, a few. And that put Kyle and I in a really tough spot as a family. And of course, Kyle goes into her very flibbertigibbet. I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into this stuff. I want to talk about this business stuff. Like, I bet you don't. I bet you don't. I've been through enough. But then she does start going through it. She's like, well, see, because he built a team at Hilton and Highland. And so like that team, those people, and there's probably five or six corner of the mouth licks, lip licks while she's getting these words out. You know, that team, those people, like they went with them. So like that's all. I don't want to talk about the business stuff. We come back to Sutton. Sutton says she's feeling sleepy. And the medic's like, well, yeah, that's bound to happen because, you know, I'm sure her adrenaline was up and now she's crashing from that. And Andy is getting texted the whole time that Sutton is back there kind of seeing what her deal is going to be. And he says to the women, update on Sutton. You know, she's going to go ahead and go to a hospital. We are all praying for Sutton and Garcelle is going to go with her. So he gets up and he's like, let me grab their phones. So thoughtful. Really thoughtful. He could have had PA do that or something. But he gets up and he gets Garcelle and Sutton's phones and he's like, and I think we also have some Merce's ashes here. And Kyle's face is like complete shock and a little bit of horror. And so he gets this little leopard like clip clutch and it's got a little bit of Merce in it. And so he grabs their phones and that and he's going to go run it back to them. And my first thought was, there's more Merce. I thought that was all of Merce. I thought that was all of the matter that was left of Merce. But that's interesting that there's more. There's a reserve of Merce. And Andy is not going to stand for the jokes. He's like, I feel honored that Merce is here. And Kyle, oh, she's such a mean girl. She just is. She's like, who brings ashes to a reunion? And she's laughing. So then they're in their comfy clothes. Garcelle and Sutton are back in their like normal clothes, not their ball gowns. And they're going to go to the hospital to be safe. And they're riding in the car and Garcelle's got the little spray bottle thing. And Sutton says, I don't want to die. And Garcelle says, you won't die. You have other people to ruffle feathers. Which is, that's the kind of friend I want with me if I feel like it's the end. Then we cut back to the couches and we get a lot more flashback footage. So much flashback footage. Just a stroll down memory lane of the Richard sisters and all their tussles and spats and conflict. They go through a full drama timeline. Then they start asking them about when they last kind of saw each other and how it's all been going. They talk about Kim's daughter's wedding, then seeing each other in Aspen. And Kathy bursts into tears, talking about how they had a very nice time hanging out in Aspen. And the next day she was at a hair salon. And I'm already envious. I'm sure it's a great place. I can't find a good place to save my life. I see all these amazing hair stylists on TikTok and they're all in like Australia or California. There's one woman in Brazil. I never see anybody near me. I'm about to catch a flight for real. But so Kathy's in the hair salon and she's saying that there was nobody in there. And she says that a couple of times. There was nobody in there. So she's all by herself in a hair salon and she hears Kyle come in. And when she does, she yells out like, oh, that's my sister, like in a real chipper tone and runs over to Kathy. And Kathy just is crying so hard remembering it. And it just made her feel loved and like Kyle was excited to be her sister and happy to be her sister and proud to be her sister. And they just had a really good moment and made up. And there's a whole long, tearful exchange about how they love each other. They need each other. They've been there for each other. And of course, now at this moment in Kyle's life, when she's divorcing Mauricio, it's no surprise that Kathy would be willing to sort of let some stuff go and reconnect. Mauricio was the source of their strife for the past 12, 13 years. And we've lost time and Andy knows that. And so he's got to get that content. Papa A is bringing the content. He says, how do you think your mother would feel seeing you like this? Andrew Bartholomew Cohen. That is not his middle name, as far as I know, but that is what I would yell out in that moment. And Kyle says, I think my mom is here. To which I say, who brings a ghost to a reunion? Then what do you think we talk about next on the Kyle show? We switch to Kyle and Mo. Kyle and Mauricio and their issues and their separation, etc. And I wrote in parentheses in my notebook, sweet Jesus, it's the Kyle show. Give me the strength. So then we see a romantic trip that they went on in 2013 in Paris, where they got the bike lock and they put it on the thing over the river. And I'm pretty sure they got rid of that
bridge. I think they did.
I think it was compromising the structure of the bridge, if I do recall.
Yep, I looked it up. It was 2015, that same bridge that they left a love lock on. They had to remove all those love locks because it was the weight of 20 elephants on this little bridge. And so all those locks had to be removed. But who knows? Maybe people started over.
But that doesn't matter. They're going through the years. 2013, 2014, 2015. They're showing all their smooches and all their giggles and all their inside jokes. And hearts are breaking all across the couches. And, you know, they're showing their reaction faces the whole time. So Kyle's dabbing tears. You know, her big fake eyelashes are starting to shake. And they're cutting all through until they finally get up to current years where they show them butting heads and having awkward moments. And that's making Kyle cry too. Then they're splicing in. So like, see what I'm saying? Half of it was flashbacks. Then they start splicing in the footage of the cast at the beginning of this season, talking about Kyle's obvious changes in life and issues with Mauricio. And they're showing Kyle's anger and frustration and her temper when people ask her about it. And it keeps splicing. Boom, boom, more footage. And then Kyle saying in a very cute top that was sold out when I went to go look for it with the white collar. I don't know. Looks like that when you have that collar. Seems like it's going to look so cute. And I just don't know about actually wearing it, you know, as an outfit. But it's adorable. You know what I think it is? I think I'm slightly brainwashed in the head. And that kind of looks like an old pinup glam, like Playboy bunny top, you know, where they used to have that white pointed starched collar and the cufflinks and the bunny outfit. I think that's why that in my mind, I'm like, that's adorable, but also in a cute girl next door, like sexy way. I think that's why that's in my brain. That's what it is. It kind of looks like a bunny costume. And she has worn a Playboy bunny costume at a Halloween party of theirs. She looked great in it. See, I have to push that. Like, we are not bunnies. We are women. I have to stop. But it is cute. It's a cute look, but I'm going to reject it from my mind. And then remember Legally Blonde? She wore it. I got to move off this topic. I do think it's an adorable little costume. And I hate that I think that it's adorable because it was made for women to walk around and serve men and not say much. Oy. So anyway, okay. Andy asked Kyle a direct question. He tries. He's not going to follow up, but at least he asks a direct question, right? So his first question to Kyle is, when did things change? Like, when did something happen? What was it that caused it? And she goes on this long word salad answer. Nothing that she's saying really makes any sense. She's like, we just got issues, you know, and it's just, there's just like issues and you've been married and, you know, we just, you know, you're busy and you're working and like, you're doing like mom stuff and you like, you got your kids and then you lose trust. So Andy's trying to cut through. He's trying to wade through all of that. And he's like, ah, quagmire, must get through. And he says, was it something that he did? And Kyle again just rambles. Well, it's issues. And, you know, I just care about my family, you know. And like, I wanted it to work and da 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 da. And just nothing is really solidifying here. And it goes on for a very long time. And Andy talks about how years ago, the infamous vacation where allegedly Lisa Vanderpump had Brandy bring tabloids that had on the front page allegations of infidelity between Mauricio and Kyle. And so Andy brings up that, like, since you've been on the show, there have been rumors. There have been rumors on the nastiness. And Kyle addresses that. And she says, yeah, and they always made me feel insecure. And, you know, it was definitely something that she was aware of. And Kathy chimes in. She's like, when you're high profile, people are going to say you're this, you're that. Make stories up. And they keep cutting to 8.5 Anne, and she's just nodding like, I'm like, what do you know about any of this? You don't know anything about any of that. She just said, you are not high profile. You are 8.5. And you better not be shaking your head thinking like, oh yeah, that's what this ladies from college are doing to your husband. Like, that's a lawsuit. That's filed in court. That's not the front page of Us Weekly. So now they start talking about Dancing with the Stars because there were rumors that Mauricio was flirty or inappropriate or too friendly with his dance partner. And Kathy says that's when she knew that they were really having issues because she's like, in no world would Kyle ever be okay with him going on Dancing with the Stars. And I wouldn't have thought that because I feel like the two of them have this pact where they just want to be on as many TV shows, make as much money and amass whatever wealth they can, that they would have said yes to anything that would amplify them in that way. And she says it's because she would have been jealous, essentially. And they talk about some dance he did that he dedicated to Kyle. And apparently, I didn't watch it. Apparently, it was very, like, sensual. And Erica's like,
Everything in dance is sensualized and sexualized, and I wouldn't have minded that. It's not a big deal.
And Kyle's like, I minded. It was awkward. It was hard for me to watch. They asked Dorit what she thought. And I'm like, yes, ask the sister wife what she thinks. We kid, but do we? I don't know.
Oh, Andy, I didn't like it. It was like seeing PK hold another woman's hand.
Really? It was like seeing your own husband hold someone else's hand? All right. And then Andy asks her what she thinks about, you know, all those photos that came out where Mauricio was in Aspen and he was doing all those staged photos. They were so thirsty with these two young women and they were pretending that they were skiing in towels. And of course, there's two of them. And he's just like, like smiling in the foreground as they're wrapped in towels with their skis, like, oh, burr, frostbite. And Kyle says, it's weird for her to see that. Yeah, I bet. She's like, it's weird because we live together. And so I'm like, what are you doing? And then Andy asks a very shady question from a viewer. And the question is, it's like a little bit of a rant about Kyle. And then it's like, what's the real reason for the split? And why doesn't she just spit it out? And Kyle is not enjoying being asked a direct question, especially without a sign of respect from one of the viewers. And she says, because it's no one's effing business. Which is really rich coming from the lady who wants everyone to tell her everything when it's not her. And Andy asks her, okay, you're still living together, living under the same roof. Now, if one of you was going to move out, who would move out? And I'm like, we all know that he would move out. Well, we all know. And she confirms that, yeah, he would move out. And then she starts crying. And she's saying, like, you know, the kids are so strong. They're so supportive. And there's a lot of discussion about that whole thing. A lot of emotion. Not a lot of things actually being said. Just words. But no new information. And then Kathy starts to get a little bit, like, philosophical. And she weighs in. And she's like, you know, people get success. And they go in different directions. And, you know, I'd say it's been maybe 1, 2, maybe 3 years. I've been noticing some differences in Kyle. And Kyle's like, well, that doesn't even match up with my marriage. So no, I. And I think Kathy was trying to sort of protect herself from what she said in the dressing room when she first got there. Like, I've been noticing stuff is off between them for 3 years. So that was like a dry run to see how Kyle would react to that. And it didn't go well. So thoughts and prayers for Kathy tonight. Andy straight up asked them, like, are they talking divorce? Is that what's on the table for them? And she says that that's a hard word for them to say. And right now, I mean, they just get along so well. And like, I don't know, we've been together for so long. And Kyle's again, just rambling, saying a lot without saying anything. Then in the Kyle show, now we're going to talk about Morgan Wade. Andy asked, what's her reaction to the show, like how it's been received, all of it? And Kyle goes on about how she's not comfortable with the scrutiny and the speculation. He starts to read comments after we all watch their scenes together at the tattoo parlor, saying the chemistry between them was off the charts, and they keep cutting to Kyle. And Kyle has zero emotion on her face, but I swear I see the glint of something. But this woman has never acted in her whole life as hardcore, I think, as she's acting right now, to not make any facial reaction as she hears then the next comment, which is the chemistry's off the chart. Kyle gets like a giddy schoolgirl around Morgan. Then talking about how Kyle seems to be head over heels for Morgan, but people wonder if Morgan feels the same way and Kyle can't help it. Like, she makes a bit of a face, you know? And Andy asks if any of the women thought that Kyle and Morgan were together when they first kind of started seeing them and hearing all the things. And it's dead silent. You could drop a pin. So quiet in there. No one says a thing until finally Crystal's like, yes, I did. I thought you were together, you know, low key or whatever. But I was like, okay, they're together. I guarantee everybody thought that. And she's the only one with the coconuts to say it. Then they show a clip of 8.5 Ann in an after show where she's talking like a, you know, a soulless newscaster. Really weird, like the tone of voice she uses on camera. Anyway, in her one-on-one thing, she's saying, Kyle found someone who loves and supports her. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing and blah, blah, blah. But then when they show that to her, she's like, yeah, you know, I mean, friendship, you know, friendship. Yeah, you know, when you find a friend who loves you, and Erica Chains, her eyes get so big, like she's calling such BS on this, and we all are. So it's like 8.5 Ann got bold in her one-on-one and said what she really thought. But in front of Kyle at the reunion, when she needs all the alliances she can get, she's going to backpedal as fast as possible. Then Andy asked her if Morgan, you know, likes the clout, which is what a lot of people online are saying, that she's in this for some of the clout. And Kyle is completely aghast at that. She's like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. She is a critically acclaimed musician. And Andy says, but, you know, respectfully, you did make her a household name. And she's like, and she would give all of that up, all that notoriety up, just if she could just keep making her music. That's what's important to her. And then Crystal comes in again, and she's a calm voice amidst this chaos. And she says, when did you decide to do the music video? Kyle's answer is 1 month before the story came out in the press about she and Mauricio being separated, because she says she asked Morgan to please perform at Loreen's celebration of life, and that Morgan's reply to that was, yes, okay, I will, but if I do, you have to be in my music video. And I'm like, wow, that seems actually terrible. Maybe that sounded good to you in your head, whatever little lie you needed to make up for yourself, but to have someone say, oh, you want me to perform at the celebration of life, I will only do that for you if you then say that you'll do this for me, just feels kind of messed up to do a quid pro quo for that. And then Kyle says she said she would do the music video, but she didn't know what the concept was. She didn't know what it was going to be about until she got there the day of. And they show footage. Bless Bravo. Somebody went and found the footage of Morgan and Kyle sitting next to each other being interviewed on set about the music video they're shooting. And Morgan saying like, well, you know, you go online, you look at anything between us and you're doing a bunch of stuff about us having an affair. Kyle jumps in.
I mean, if they're going to talk, let's give them something to talk about.
So in that clip, she seemed aware. She seemed game. She seemed to support it. And then at the reunion, she's very bashful. She's not at all that same kind of confident person we just saw on camera. She says that she had to pull the director aside and tell him that she'd never kissed anyone on camera, let alone a woman like off camera, and is just protesting quite a bit here. I'm like, you're 50 years old. You grew up in the, 60s, 70s, 80s in LA. You never kissed another woman? Sure, Jan. All right. But even if you hadn't, even if that is true and you never had, it is not a big deal. It's just, she was making it seem like it was so foreign and so outrageous of a concept, and little old her would never. I'm like, stop. But after rambling for a very long time about various things, she says, you know, if I'm being honest, I was curious in order to say yes. You know, if I'm being honest. And I'm like, if you're being honest, you were curious in order to say yes. There's no way for you to know that it was going to be anything, you know, flirty or sexual before you did it, because you're saying you didn't even know what the concept was. Not a lot of this is making sense, is what I'm saying to you. But Erica realizes that this is a baby step for Kyle in the right direction of acknowledging things. And so she's nodding with a light smile. And Kyle's still rambling about things. And Kathy's like, don't be embarrassed. And that really stood out to me. And Kyle's like, I'm not. But then I think that made Kyle a little bolder, because she's like, and she's hot. What can I say? And then again, Andy gets right down to it. He asks a point blank question. Is there anything going on between the two of you? Are you a couple? Do you have feelings for each other? She's like, no. And she's my friend. And I love her as a friend. Kathy chimes in again and she says she's really humble and she's bright and, you know, she's talented. She's refreshing. She blew me away. I saw her concert of hers, saw her play. But Andy's not letting up. He's like, say uncle. And he says to her, so could you see yourself with Morgan? And Kyle says, 3 or 4 times in a row, I don't know. I'm evolving. I'm changing. I don't know. And Andy says, Andy knows that we know that he knows that she knows that we know. And Andy says, well, maybe next year she'll be sitting on the couch with us. And Kyle says, you never know. Then Andy says, I'm praying for Sutton. We hope Sutton's all right. Now I'm going to go around and ask each of you ladies, what are you taking away from this season? For some reason, we start with 8.5, probably just to get it out of the way. Eat the frog. And she says that happiness and health is most important. And then we go to Crystal, and Crystal says, not to be afraid to speak up and that my voice matters.
And Erica says, well, then I'm okay, you know? And I showed up for myself and I feel better.
And Kathy says, I'm happy to be here. I think what you girls do, the group that you have here, you really care about each other. I think it's so special and I respect it. Then we go to Dorit, and Dorit starts to say something and then was like, well, I'll start over. And Andy covers his mouth and pretends to yawn and everyone has a laugh. Then Dorit makes it about Garcelle. And she says that,
I guess I'm just naive sometimes, that when someone says that they're my friend, that I think they truly are my friend. I need to work on that.
And Andy's like, okay, that was about Garcelle, right? And she says,
yeah.
Just a bold choice, odd choice for Dorit's closing statement not to be about something interesting, something she's taking away, but to go after Garcelle. Really interesting choice there. Then we get to Kyle, the last one, of course. And Kyle says that, you know, I may have lost my happily ever after and like I'm strong though. I'm like, I'm going to have my happily ever after. Like I'm going to have it. And now we're done. Andy says, well, what a great season. And then they show little placards for Sutton and Sutton is fine. She is with Avi and her dogs. She's okay. Then I'm like, oh, are we going to have a card for everybody? But it was literally just Sutton and Kyle. Sutton's okay. And then Kyle flew to go see Morgan in Nashville and is still living with Mauricio as he looks for a new place to live. Those two things we learn, and then the show's over. Now, despite it being three parts, I didn't feel like we ever got Kyle to acknowledge things that she did to Sutton. We got more closure with 8.5 Anne than we did with one of the longest-running cast members on the show. And she got away with that and then got away with saying, because it's nobody's business, like what's really going on with her. They tore Denise apart over a one-night consensual adult connection. Kyle's like the Teflon Don. Like, nothing sticks to her. She dodges it every single time. Sutton would bring it up, and she would flip it right back on Sutton, like, no, you hurt my feelings. So nothing ever got resolved other than Sutton apologizing. And then, in my opinion, she is not being honest with people about the level of her relationship or friendship or whatever they want to call it with Morgan. And that's fine. I'm not saying that I need her to be. It's just tough to watch when she still doesn't show other people the kind of grace that she takes. She makes fun of very serious issues that other people have when she would never, she would lose her mind if people said the same kinds of things to her. She would, and she has. And I can't think of another franchise where one singular cast member controls so much of the plot line. I mean, even Candy in Atlanta, I never felt like it was primarily about her or that she was running it or that people all felt like they had to fall in line with her. I never really felt that. But I'd love you to DM me if you can think of it, of another franchise where one person is, it's just like we're hyper-focusing on that person and we always do and they just get away with everything. And I just went to Twitter just to make myself laugh. And it's the theme. A lot of people are saying like, so the reason for your separation is no one's business, but your sister's addiction as well as Sutton's eating and drinking habits are to be discussed. Preach. Preach. The next one is, Kyle's such a hypocrite to think it's no one's, quote, effing business to know about her relationship when she made it her effing business to out all of her castmates' dirty secrets over the years. Yeah. Uh-huh. And there's a famous meme, I've used it before, where this woman is on a couch and she's like, oh, she's just so weary and over everything. And this person posted that meme and said, I'm so tired of Kyle this season. I really think she needs to take a break from the show or just leave. This was her worst reunion. She didn't want to answer any questions. And they're absolutely right. She did not want to answer any questions. And she mostly didn't. She just threw a bunch of crazy words up there, kind of changed the subject, and we moved on. And somebody named Dustin Cohn said, how is Kyle able to walk around flirting with Morgan on camera and getting her initials tattooed, but Mauricio can't hang out with other women? Great question. I mean, and as a viewer, we have other things to do. There's a lot of good shows on TV right now. We did not need to have this, I don't think, be three parts, especially if they know, having filmed it, they're asking direct questions and Kyle's changing the subject or not really answering them, just sort of stammering and mumbling and then just changing the subject. And oh man, I was just scrolling and one of these tweets made me laugh so hard. The word heifer, I feel like it will always make me laugh. I don't care what setting I'm in, that would crack me up. And so Miss Angel Nora's tweet says, Kyle saying what's going on with her and Mauricio is no one's business. Heifer, you're on a reality show. That one got me. That one made me laugh. But yeah, the bulk of the stuff that I'm seeing right here is people are tired of the sister therapy sessions, the feeling bad for Kyle sessions, the not really answering any questions sessions, and then the fact that Sutton and Garcelle were gone, that contributed to a very lackluster part three. No, I don't think there's any chance that they would cut Kyle from the show. I think that they all think that we are engrossed in this will they, won't they relationship that she has with Morgan. When I think in reality, the viewers would be fine. Kyle keeps hinting that she wants to take a break or be done for a minute. She's got a lot going on. If she is a person who demands that everybody else tell them every detail about their lives, but she can't do it with this, maybe she should go be private for a minute. I was so excited about this season because I saw all these stories breaking. You know, Face Reality 16 had an amazing dive. She was just noticing things, noticing like the rings, the tattoos, the this, the that, all of the things, and pieced it all together and just sort of the very flirty nature of their posts online. It's not as though it was hidden or a secret or something that they weren't, you know, happy and actively posting to their very many followers. And that was a long time ago. So I was excited. I think a lot of people were excited. We were like, go, Kyle. Would love it for you. Love that to see you happy. Do you be you? And now she's exhausted me anyway. I don't know how many of you. And maybe she felt comfortable going as far as she did in the music video, being, you know, flirting with this person that she keeps insisting is just a friend, because you can excuse it and say that it's art. You can shrug it away. I'm like, oh, no, we're just everywhere now. We just travel together everywhere now just because we're friends, and good friends do that. And good friends get matching tattoos, and good friends have matching rings. And good friends have each other's shoes they just bought accidentally in their shoebox. Silly us. And good friends feed each other, you know, melon balls and stuff at events off of the little skewers. And good friends, like, run over mid-conversation when their friend starts playing an instrument on stage. Good friends sway and mumble the words to every song of their friend's performance. Like, individually fine, taken as a whole, tipping point. And it's frustrating that there's no real solid, like, truthful, good answer for anything, really. So there's nothing with Morgan, but then there's really not that much with Mauricio. She alluded to the whole, he lost my trust, he did things. But when push came to shove, there was no real answer or, yes, you know, I found out some information that confirmed for me, you know, everybody's worst nightmare or something. It was just insecurities get in your head and the rumors pile up and blah, blah. It's like, well, that doesn't really seem to make sense. That's not any different than it ever was. And then also that all of this is supposed to be so riveting to us that it's worth this much attention. And I don't think that it is. For the whole season to focus on just this and also have it be lackluster. I loved the scenes when Morgan was on. That was great. I felt like that was as honest as Kyle was going to be, you know, about their relationship. Because I don't think she's capable of downplaying it or denying it when Morgan is in her presence. Because she does light up. I thought that too. I thought their chemistry was off the charts. I thought all those things that the viewers wrote in that Andy told her. I do think, however, that Dorit might be put on a break. If I had to guess, 8.5 gone, Dorit, maybe break, maybe step back to friend of. Because those storylines are stale. Stale is 4-day-old bread. And we all know they're going to just keep telling us that she and PK are bumping heads and the PTSD. And like the irony of her having accused Sutton of putting vodka in her coffee when in reality, you know, PK is now whatever, X amount of days sober. Honestly, like, stop, enough already. They prove beyond a doubt so much on this show that an allegation is a confession. Just insecurity is coming out of their pointer fingertips. But in summation, back to Mauricio quickly and how he parted with Hilton and Highland. I thought that was spiteful of him to give 1-day notice and then to also take, you know, team members. Because Kyle is saying, you know, he built a team. He had his little like sales team at Hilton and Highland. And if you're going to go start your own thing, he's wanting to bring them and Rick's not wanting them to take them. What I'm saying is if the ultimate goal is to keep the peace in the family, you got to let some stuff go. Acknowledge the experience for what it was. This guy helped me out. I have a new skill set. I'm good at it. I know I'm good at it. I'm going to go start my own thing. But now they got bad blood. And that's rough.
Like, even if you think you're right, like, for your wife and for the peace, I'm good enough. I'm going to go make money where I go. I can do both. You know, if possible, I just think that's a worthy goal.
I just strolled past the funniest tweet. It's inappropriate. Let's read it. It's by Maisie Tunes. After an evening of boredom and eye rolling, a thought suddenly occurs to Erica.
I wonder if Kyle calls them both Mo.
And there's a picture of Erica looking shocked at the reunion and just some, you know, crop of her face. That's so funny. So after this, where do we go from this? What if you want another episode of The Kyle Show? You're going to have to watch Buying Beverly Hills to see what Mauricio is going to say without Kyle being around to correct him or interject or mumble it away. So I think we're looking at possibly two new Housewives next year. If they demote Dorit, they got to replace 8.5 Anne. No way Garcelle and Sutton are going. Crystal was great this season. They're never, ever going to stop filming Erica and showing her face as long as she needs a paycheck and is willing to do it. I don't think they care what happened in the Marco case. I don't think it matters to them anything else. What will be interesting is something is going to happen with the Marco case. Like, that's going to go to trial unless they find some way to make a deal or pay something or whatever. So if that goes to trial, that would likely be part of her storyline and filming. And if it isn't, if it does go to trial and they don't make it part of her storyline, that's going to be crazy because it is such a big deal. The stakes are very high. But all right, we're done with Beverly Hills. We did it. We made it through the season. We can focus on more important things like, where is Kate Middleton? And did she really write that message about, as an amateur photographer, I dabble with Photoshop, whatever she said. I think she's fine, though. I really do. She wanted into that family so bad. So, so bad. She's a believer. She's a supporter. She thrives in the system. I think she's okay. And this pod did not go out early in the morning because I don't know if it's a reflection on the reunion or if I'm just tired. But for the first time, I passed out with my headphones on in front of my microphone as I was reading my notes about the episode, sitting here trying to finish the recap. So I had to wake up early and finish it and put it out a little bit late. But nothing says snooze fest like actually putting me to sleep when I have to reflect on it. Next episode of this pod will drop on Monday. And that will be part two of Erica Jayne's documentary, Bet It All on Blonde. I watched the last hour of it and I took detailed notes, copious notes, and it about did me in. So that recap and the final part of that will drop on Monday. In the interim, please like and subscribe to this pod. Tell a friend to tell a friend. DM me on Instagram with any thoughts or input, hot takes. And let me know if you're sick and tired of the Kyle Show, if you got that same impression that it was the Kyle Show, or if you felt like, no, it was a normal, you know, good three-parter reunion. In the meantime, don't be like Kyle. Don't build up the show to focus on you. And then in a season where you actually have a very, very compelling storyline naturally occurring in your life, you botch it because you refuse to be held to the exact same standard that you require everyone else be held to.